Investment flash.
Buddy, oil can't decide if it's facing a supply shock or a demand meltdown, and the memory supercycle just refuses to slow down. We'll tell you why.
Investment Flash, London Edition, June 10th, 2026. I'm Marie with Tom and Gerald. Let's get into it.
Look, crude's got a split personality. The FT says oil below $100 on China import cuts, but the WSJ says it rose on supply disruption fears. And BlackRock warns of an energy shock ahead of CPI. It's a tug of war.
Yeah, and the US oil fund is up 96% year to date, but dropped nearly 3% last session. The direction is anyone's guess. Honestly, it's like reading two different markets.
Wait, but that's exactly the problem. The demand side weakness from China is real, but the supply side fear is just as real. We're stuck in limbo until that CPI number hits.
That's why I'm watching the Energy Select Sector ETF too. It's up almost 28% year to date, but barely moved this week. Range bound is the word.
Right, so the oil analyst's consensus is nobody knows. That's a safe career move, predicting both sides and then circling back.
Fair enough. But seriously, BlackRock dropping the energy shock card before CPI makes me think they see something.
Now let's talk about what is working. Semis. Tokyo Electronics CEO says cutting-edge chips are a must for data centers to curb power consumption. And a UBS analyst calls a memory supercycle with unprecedented equipment visibility. Micron's up 201% year to date, but down 12% this week. That's a buyable pause, buddy.
Tom, every time memory goes on a tear, we hear supercycle. What's the PE on these names? Because 200% year to date screams, I'm priced for perfection.
Tom, remember when you said semis were cooked in Q2? Now you're all in again. What changed?
Okay, that was a bad call, I admit. But this time, the CEO of Tokyo Electron is backing it. Data centers literally cannot function without advanced chips. And the UBS call isn't just about pricing, it's about equipment orders. That visibility is new.
No, but that's my point. The pullback is an opportunity. The semiconductor ETF, ticker SMH, is down over 6% this week and up 60% year to date. If you believe the supercycle, this is a dip.
Fair enough. I'll concede the demand story is legit, but I'm still watching PEs. If this supercycle falters, the air gets thin.
All right, so we buy the semiconductor ETF, buy Micron and Nvidia, 12% below its 52-week high. Still a data center must-have. Applied Materials, too, riding the equipment boom.
Exactly.
100%.
That's the whole story. And the AI financing pipes are wide open. Apollo and Blackstone just let a $35 billion financing for Anthropic. Apollo's stock popped 4% last session, Blackstone up over 5%. Private credit is moving into AI infrastructure in a huge way.
It's a massive deal. And it's not just about the capital. It signals confidence that AI will keep scaling. The NASDAQ 100 ETF is down nearly 4% this week, but this kind of funding lifts all boats.
To be fair, private credit stepping into AI infrastructure, that's a new frontier. But it also means if the AI thesis stumbles, these loans get ugly. High reward, high risk.
Look, mate, the Anthropic deal is a reminder that there's still a ton of money chasing AI. QQQ might be down, but I'd buy that dip.
All right, but let's talk about US stocks. The Wall Street Journal says stock markets have become dangerously concentrated. A single bet on a few megacaps. And Bloomberg flags Bank of America red flags even as markets bounce. The S&P 500 ETF is just 3% below its 52-week high. That's not a buying opportunity. That's a warning.
Hang on, Gerald. The bounce is real. SPY's only down 2% this week. The market's resilient. Concentration risk is a story. But if earnings hold, who cares?
Tom, the WSJ piece by Spencer Jacob is spot on. Passive funds flow into the same names, and diversification metrics miss the downside risk. We're essentially all in on a handful of tech stocks. That's not resilience, it's fragility.
Exactly. It's a single bet. If those few names falter, the whole market gets dragged. I'm selling SPY here.
Okay. You two are making me nervous. But I'm not selling. I just add some hedges.
I'm with Gerald. Sell the S&P 500 ETF. The risk-reward at these levels is awful.
Fair point. I'll watch instead of chase.
I'm with Marie.
All right. Sell SPY. You've convinced me.
Now, let's switch to banks. The FT notes potential rate hikes could boost bank margins, but Bloomberg reports Blackstone is buying SRTs as banks rush to head loan risks. That's credit stress. The financials ETF, XLF, is up 2% this week, but down 5% year-to-date. Direction unclear.
The SRT buying is a red flag. Banks are offloading loan risk, which means they see problems on the horizon. If credit losses materialize before rate hikes arrive, the bank rally is toast.
But if rates go up, net interest margins improve. Bank stocks are cheap. XLF trading at 1.54 times book. That's attractive.
Tom, that's the gamble. But loan losses don't ring a bell. They just show up. And with Blackstone buying up that risk, someone's going to get hurt. I'm watching XLF, not buying.
Agreed. Watch the financials ETF. The credit cycle is undercovered, and that's a warning.
Speaking of rates, bonds are in the crosshairs. BlackRock's energy shock call and the Fed rate hike chatter both point to higher yields. The long-duration Treasury ETF, TLT, is only 8% below its 52-week high. That's complacent with CPI coming.
Yeah, sell TLT. If CPI accelerates, yields rip and long bonds get crushed. BlackRock is basically telling us inflation risk is underpriced.
Hold on. What if CPI misses? Then the energy shock evaporates, yields fall, and TLT rips higher. Shorting bonds here is a coin toss, like playing chicken with the Fed.
But the setup is asymmetric. If CPI is hot, TLT gets smoked. The risk is to the upside in yields. I'm selling.
I'm with Tom. Sell long-duration treasuries. And while we're at it, fade the war risk premium in crops and fertilizer. Bloomberg says the premium is evaporating. Mosaic is down 8% this week, near its 52-week low.
But the Iran situation isn't resolved. If something flares up again, the premium comes back.
Tom, the market's already priced that in, and now it's pricing it out. We're selling the wheat fund and Mosaic. The war trade is over.
Finally, an easy one.
Fine, I'll fade. Betting against war premiums. What could go wrong? Now, a quick one on EV batteries. GM is following Ford with a sodium-ion battery bet. GM's trading at 6x forward earnings, up 2% this week. That's a cheap catalyst play.
It's still an auto company with massive legacy costs. Sodium-ion might diversify supply chains, but the competition is fierce.
And it could pressure lithium demand long term. The lithium and battery ETF is down 9% this week. The uncertainty is there. Hold GM's rivals. Hold the lithium ETF.
But I'm buying GM. At 6x forward PE, the downside is limited.
Honestly, if BlackRock's energy shock is right, gold should be flying. But the gold ETF is down 0.3% year to date and 23% below its high. It hasn't caught a bid.
That's exactly why I'm buying. If CPI surprises, GLD is cheap optionality, asymmetric upside.
Gold's been dead money for a while. Even with inflation fears, it's not moving. But I'll admit, at these levels, it's a low conviction bet.
That's the bet. Cheap hedge. I'm in.
Exactly.
That's the trade.
All right.
Before we wrap, let's highlight the most original take. The WSJ's Spencer Jacob on concentration. Gerald, you mentioned it. The market as a single bet.
Right. And it's not just a warning. It means traditional diversification is broken.
If you own the S&P 500, you're essentially long a handful of tech names. That's a problem.
But that's the bull case for active management. If passive is so concentrated, picking individual names can add value. That's opportunity.
Tom, the article is a red flag, not a buy signal. When markets become a single bet, the downside isn't diversified away. That's why we're cautious on SPY.
Exactly. It reinforces our sell pool.
All right, here's our view. Oil split brain captures the macro confusion, but the semiconductor supercycle is the one story refusing to buckle. We like the dip in SMH and Micron. The clean counter, if CPI misses, bonds rally, and semis join the risk on, short TLT would get squeezed. So we pair long semis with short financials, long SMH, short XLF, because credit fragility is underappreciated, and a gold hedge is cheap.
That's a clever expression. But if inflation is hot, both legs work. Cold, and everyone gets hurt. I'll take it with a hedge.
I love it. Semi supercycle, fade the bank credit risk, and add a gold kicker. That's a trade.
As always, none of this is investment advice. Do your own research.
We're back later today at 9 a.m. New York time for the New York edition. Gerald, your sell on Alibaba from yesterday's show, looking prescient, down another 4%.
Yeah, that was a good call. But don't get too excited. Alibaba can bounce just as fast.
Fair. And hey, if you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
See you then, everyone.